In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred with your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate and review. Today I'm joined by Detroit area singer-songwriter Nick Puente of Nick Puente and the Complicated Men. Their album Downtime is Nick's first in a while, featuring him backed by a band, though over the years he's been several, including Dwarf and The Respectables. Downtime is out on Gem Records and features our coolest song in the world, Upper Hand. Let's give some of that a listen now, and then I'll be back on the line with Nick for your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Fell for you on a slippery slope. I was holding out for a glimmer of hope. Didn't care if I was ever coming to. I could tell we would make it for miles without missing a beat or faking a smile. You took me somewhere that I never knew. You got the upper
Mighty Manfred here now for your Coolest Conversations. And my guest today is Detroit area singer-songwriter Nick Puente of Nick Puente and the Complicated Men. First off, Nick, how are you in these COVID times? Are your family and friends healthy?
Yeah, luckily, family's healthy. One daughter lives in Madison, Wisconsin. Just started a new job out there, which is great. She graduated college and found a job and in these times. And my other daughter works for Fiat Chrysler, so she's been busy. And everyone's been healthy.
Well, I know you guys have got a restaurant outside of Detroit. Can you remind us what the name is and how are things working out with that?
Yeah, it's called Sibley Gardens. We're an Italian steakhouse about a half hour from Detroit. We were shut down. We did carry out only for 3 weeks. March 16th, I think, started that. And it was, we're busy. Not busy enough to really be self-sustaining, but after 3 weeks, everything was starting to peak, and the skeleton staff I had was getting a little uncomfortable, and I was probably getting a little freaked out too, so we decided to shut it down, but we didn't know it would be this long. We still have not reopened, but we're getting ready, doing some things around here, some repair maintenance, and we'll be ready to rock as soon as we can.
Well, great. I live here in Los Angeles. I know you used to live here in L.A., but I'm actually from Georgia, and I've got family there still. And, of course, plenty of wacky things been going on in Georgia over the course of this. How are things for you in Michigan?
The governor's kind of taking, safety first, and, of course, she's getting some pushback. It is difficult, but, I think we have to remember this is new for everybody, yeah. And I think everyone's doing the best they can. I think initially, even Dr. Fauci, I think, said in January, in the United States, we don't have anything to worry about. He was surprised, shocked by this. Not surprising that we have. Yeah. Actually, one of my friends recorded on the record, Chris Plum, he got really sick with the virus. I mean, really sick, thinking like, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. And he luckily, his wife reached out to a doctor, maybe some alternative methods. And he said, it saved his life. Wasn't really any drugs he took. It was just some heavy vitamins. And he did do some breathing treatments that in like one day it was like much, much better. And he knew that he was on the other side of it. And he's a healthy guy, so you never know.
Well, I'm glad to hear that he pulled through okay. When we spoke last, it was July of 2018, and I was asking you back then if you were always writing songs, and you said yes, and that after you had accumulated a bunch that you felt strongly about, that it was time to do a new album. So is that kind of the genesis of the new full-length Downtime?
Yeah, that's kind of how I do it. In fact, with Downtime, I wrote like 5 songs that I was pretty excited about, and we were going to do an EP initially, but we recorded those early last year. But then the record label, Gem Records, that I'm on, they said, you know, just if you record 5 more songs, we can put out an album. So I think they're a little more comfortable putting an LP out. So we went back in the studio, and I had some songs that were almost done, and we finished those off, and the album could have been released probably last fall, but I like to take a little bit of time, you know, for the tracking and the mixing and just kind of, you know, feel that the songs, you know, stand up in the performances. And it's a new band that I had for this record, The Complicated Men. And it was great going in the studio with them, and we trapped everything together. It's kind of like the old days. And, you know, with today's technology, you don't even have to be in the same state or continent to make a record.
Right.
But we were on the same room and pretty much most of the tracking in 2 weekends, which was great.
I was going to ask you about The Complicated Men because it seems like when last we spoke, you were just starting to do some things with those guys. So they were not involved on your last album, Temporary High?
Yeah, they weren't. The band itself wasn't. Ryan Allen, he was in the band, kind of not in the band. But he's been on several of my records, and we've co-written some songs together.
Uh-huh.
Trying to recall if he was on Temporary High. I think he did some singing. I don't think he played guitar. So the band, Jeff Huff is the bass player.
Right.
He was in a band called the Atomic Numbers in Detroit years ago. And the drummer, Ron Vensko, has been in a lot of Detroit bands. And Kevin Darnell is a keyboardist. And then, like I said, Ryan Allen played guitar and sings. He performed in 4 songs on the record. And then Chris Plum, the other friend that I mentioned, he joined us at the end of the recording and did some background vocals and played a synth on 1 song and some percussion. Both him and Ryan, really great at percussion. So it's kind of neat having these extra flavors in the band. And Chris, you know, was planning on to perform with us when we did our record release show, but obviously that's put on hold now. So, but he was in a band called The Mood Elevator in Detroit that Brandon Benson and him worked together with. So it's you know, got a great pool of talent that I'm lucky to work with.
And how, I mean, how did the band form? How did you come in contact with these guys?
Well, I knew Jeff Hupp not really well, but I knew of him. We were kind of friends. We'd like kind of waved at each other, but he sent me probably through Facebook, just said, because I was going to do a solo show for the IPO that was coming to Detroit. And,
and the IPO being the International Pop Overthrow, right?
Right, International Pop Overthrow. And I usually did it with a band, but I was kind of in between the bands at the time, and I was just going to do a solo thing. And then Jeff said, "Do you need a bass player?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I got a drummer in mind." So Jeff and I actually at a restaurant on a Sunday when we're closed, we brought the equipment in. I've got a small PA here anyway.
Uh-huh.
And it worked really well because I loved the band that I had recorded with in the past, Donnie Brown on drums and Andy Reid on bass. And, you know, I love those guys. So it was different having it, some new guys. But soon after that, started bringing down some new songs, and they got it right away. You know, it's still me, still my songs, my voice. But I can hear the difference, you know, with the new band. And maybe it's rocking a little bit harder in some of the songs. But then there's some kind of sweeter stuff in there, too. So I like the range of the new record.
Well, last year you recorded and released a single, All This Time, with those guys. Was that, you mentioned having about half the songs recorded. Certainly that must have been one of them. What other tunes did you already have in the can around the time of All This Time?
Yeah, the first batch was actually most of those ended up on the B-side, and not that I consider them any less, you know, worthy than the songs here on A-side. It was just kind of like, well, these are the more recent songs only on the side A and side B. Plus, thematically, I think they kind of fit together, some of the songs in the side mm-hmm. B. But All This Time, I Never Belonged to Me,
yeah,
Contract, those three are actually all kind of about the same subject matter, too. I had a friend of mine that was going through ultimately a divorce, but I was kind of singing from his perspective.
Yeah.
So much so that my wife kind of worried that, you know, people were going to think the songs are about her. She said, "Could you put a sticker on the record saying these songs are not about Kelly?" It was kind of funny.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, So those three songs, and then Every High, which is on side A, were all done in one weekend, and which Ryan was included in those. And then I went back maybe a couple months later and started working on the next batch, which was Upper Hand, Bright Light, Gonna Be Good, which Chris Carter played the other night, which was great on Saturday.
Right.
Or Saturday afternoon.
And Going Nowhere.
And Going Nowhere, yeah, which that was the last song we finished. I had that song recorded, and I did not have any lyrics. So Ryan actually helped me out with that. He came up with every lyric in that song, and I had the melody, but I needed some words to sing. And he's really a good go-to guy. He works really fast in the studio and outside the studio. He's got his own band called Extra Arms.
And let me ask you then, these recordings were produced by Jeff Michael, who also produced Temporary High. Can you remind us about Jeff? How do you know him, and what all has he done?
Yeah, Jeff, he owns a studio called Big Sky Recording in Ann Arbor. Jeff's around my age, and I first met him. He mixed an album, a previous band called The Respectables, and we actually titled the album Sibley Gardens after the restaurant. He mixed that, and he just really brought the recordings to life, and it was such a great experience. So when I started my solo string of records, 2013, I had Jeff produce that and kind of put the band together at the time. He suggested Donnie to play drums, and so it was great working, and he kind of made the record sound like I wanted it to sound.
Great.
So we did that in 2013, and then Beyond the Statics, 2015, Trust Your Instincts in 16, Temporary High, and then this one. So I don't really feel like I needed to, find a different producer. But there's so many people in Detroit that I could have worked with, you know. Jim Diamond, obviously, is someone that I've talked to him, and it really would have been fun to have done something with him when he had all recorders going. Dave Feeney's a friend of mine. We play a lot of golf together. He owns a temper mill. He'd be a great guy to work with, but, it's like he's got one guy to go with. And those guys are all friends with each other, too, know each other. Dave and Jeff especially are really good friends. So no competition between everyone's got their own guys they work with.
Well, let's talk about our coolest song in the world this week. Upper Hand is the opening track to Downtime. The album came out last Friday on the 22nd on Gem Records. Who's got the upper hand on you these days? Anybody?
Yeah, that's, I was actually at a wedding and the best man was making a little speech, and he said something. I forget. It was a cute little story, but the punchline was upper hand. I forget the joke, but it was cute. So I think that title kind of stuck with me somehow. Yeah, the song just kind of came to me. I was out of town and actually in the shower, and I usually write with a guitar in my hand, but kind of melody came in my mind and started doing that with this new record. Things would come into my head while not having a guitar in my hand, which, kind of refreshing, a little different way to write. So I had this chorus going on in my head, got the upper hand. And then once I got back in town, I had a guitar, started singing it. Okay, it's in the key of B, great. And then I had started the riff, and then the verse came after that. And so, what it's about is probably giving up control. And maybe after being married for 25 years, you have to give up a little control in some areas or you wouldn't be married. So maybe it's part of that. Maybe it's a little, nod to my wife, but kind of like liberating. It's like you don't always have to try to control everything, especially if someone like me who likes to be in charge.
Well, no sticker was required for that song.
No, that one. And actually, I think there's some sweet songs about her on the record. I have to think about that.
Well, one thing I love about that track is that intro part you have, and that it comes around again at the end of the song. I don't know if you call it a fingering part of the lick or whatever, but I thought
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because that was actually songs done, and I'd send demos or rough mixes to Marty at Gem Records, and he'd say, "Yeah, this is good, but your song's kind of starting out. It's got a lot of those riffs, and it goes into the verse. Maybe you could have something different." So then I came up with this lick in the studio, and then we'd say it again and say it out. It was his idea to do something different, and when I did that, it was like, "Yeah, that's cool." Yeah, little things like that.
Yeah, it was definitely cool. Well, he earned his paycheck that day, I'm telling you.
Yeah, we're not going to give him a co-write, though, so sorry, Marty.
No,
we'll,
So you mentioned Upper Hand sort of being inspired by this initially, the seed planted from the story that you heard at the wedding, and you mentioned several songs. I guess you had been recording around when you did the single all this time, sort of being reflective of a friend of yours who's going through a divorce. Are there inspirations more of a personal nature? The other songs on there?
Yeah, Every High is actually kind of a song for my daughter, my oldest daughter, Marissa. Just kind of my, you know, fatherly advice to her, if you could tell, but I know it, that's where it came from. And, you know, she's 24 and single, and so, and yeah, I forgot what it's like to be 24 and single, but I was, and it's like, well, someone could have written a lot of songs for me and kind of helped me out back then. And she's not bothered by it, you know, promise not to use her name in the song itself, but I think she kind of likes that.
Is that the daughter that moved to Wisconsin, or is that the daughter that was working for Daimler Chrysler? I can't recall.
Yeah, no, that's the oldest one, Marissa. Megan, she was an art student and got a job as an industrial designer. Yeah, I don't write as many songs about Megan. She's just kind of very low maintenance, you know, so I don't really, she doesn't need my self-help songs, I guess. But talking about, other songs, Bright Light, that's definitely about my wife, just kind of, you know, kind of positive, sweet song. And Gonna Be Good, I think that could be like one of a father-daughter kind of song, watching, you know, being a dad and thinking, hey, telling it's going to get better. But yeah, most of the songs are, if they're not personal about me, they'll be something that I know about or seen or my take on something.
I know you would have had some shows lined up around the album's release last Friday or coming up, given the world as it is now, it's been put on hold. Do you have any plans for like streaming live stuff online, like some sort of Facebook performance or some such?
Yeah, we talked about that. We've got our keyboard player, Kevin's got a great house that we rehearse in. It's just a big living room, and it's really ambient room, and we wanted to do something there, but we're still like not allowed even to get together, you know, until the stay-at-home order is lifted. So we'll do something when we can do it. You know, you see a lot of the online things. A lot of them are good, but, you know, I'm getting kind of burnt out watching all these home recordings. But, we did have some shows booked up. In fact, the Jelly Bricks were going to join us for one. We were really excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were going to play at the Lager House in Detroit, which is, I think this Saturday was supposed to be the show. You know, a wicked cool band. And, they write some great songs. And I think it would have been a really good fit, good show for us. And we were looking forward to that.
All right. Well, I've actually been to the done shows before at the Lager House. It's been a while, but I'm glad to hear that it's still there, still rocking.
Yeah, it's just a funny little room, you know, but it's a cool vibe about it. You like to pack people in like sardines, but gosh, I don't know when we'll be able to do that again.
Right. Well, you know, I was looking at the cover art of Downtime, and that's a maze on the cover, right?
Yeah, my daughter Megan did that. I was asking if she could do the cover work, and she said, well, do you have any ideas? And then I was just kind of Googled the word complicated, and then a maze popped up. So I sent her a couple ideas for what, you know, complicated is, and she sent that back to me. I said, yeah, like, cool. And what's interesting about it, there's no way out of the maze.
Yes. Well, that's why I was bringing it up. I was going to say, what are you trying to tell us there, Nick? Yeah. So Downtime, the title Downtime, of course, kind of dovetails into a lot of people having to stay at home these past few weeks. What was the inspiration for calling it Downtime?
Actually, I have to give that credit to my daughter, Megan, too, because she's helped me. She's got a very creative brain. She's not a musician, but though she dabbles a little bit. But she's super smart, and she's a nice sounding board for my music. So I said, what do you think we should call this record? So I sent her the lyrics that I had. And she said, well, you use the word time in several songs. It was All This Time. And Downtime is in the song Never Belonged to Me.
Yeah.
It's like, don't know what to do with the downtime. And she said, downtime. And this was obviously before downtime. Now, you know, you hear the word on the news all the time. And I said, Kelly, they're talking about my album again. They just said downtime. But so in downtime, obviously, we all have jobs outside of playing music. So it is kind of our downtime, you know, when we, for me, pick up a guitar or for the band to get together and rehearse. And it's kind of the thing that we do. So, yeah, it just seemed to fit.
Well, there's another track from the album we're going to go out with. And Outside of Upper Hand is the coolest song in the world this week. My favorite tune on the album is the fourth cut in called Going Nowhere. Now, did you say that Ryan had supplied the lyrics for that?
Yeah, the lyrics were his, and which you can make a pretty good video with the lyrics, you know, and it, someone asked about the lyrics, what they're really about, and he just kind of said it's about him just, you know, handling, you know, life, you know, depression or whatever, and it's just, I'm sure, it's personal, you know, everybody can go through, but he's really... Yeah, one of my favorite writers in Detroit, and so I wouldn't just let anyone kind of give me some lyrics, because I take a lot of pride in the lyrics, and so when he sent the first verse, and I was like, great, what else you got? 20 minutes later, the second one, and it was like, okay, we got it. And I sang it back to him. He said, yeah, so that was cool. Even though he didn't play in the song, he definitely has a co-write on that one.
You're right. Well, so did I hear you correctly? You said that one would make a cool video, or that you would actually do a video?
Yeah, I think it would, you know, especially trying, you know, we live up by the water here, you know, like at, we got enough boats, we could go out and find some boat that's barely afloat. In fact, a friend of my wife's son has this old tugboat, and I said, yeah, we could set the whole band on top of that tugboat. That would be kind of a cool video, so maybe we'll do that. I don't know if we'll use the sailor hats, but
definitely use the sailor hats. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're a band. You have to use the sailor hats, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Well, Nick, thanks again for chatting with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Hey, thanks so much. I got warmed up. I was listening to the Wagos.
Thanks.
They helped me put out last year with all the coolest songs. And boy, it just gets you going.
Oh, thanks a lot. But you know, right now, it's time for some more quality downtime with Nick Pionti and the Complicated Men with It's Going Nowhere in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
I didn't want to admit it, but the ship was going down and was stuck in it. It's my job.
Going Nowhere. That was Nick Pionti and the Complicated Men off their new album, Downtime, available from Gem Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Nick for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. And be sure and join me again next week when I'll have Wild Evil from Wild Evil and the Trash Bones as my guest. The Trash Bones are from Vienna, Austria, and Wild Evil is a sort of Screaming Lord Sutch character. The band has just released a new single, and we'll talk about that and the band and hear about some of their adventures. That's next week's Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.